I got up this morning. I thought I knew what I was going to preach. I woke up the other night, and it was 3:28 in the morning. I looked at the clock. I woke up. I was preaching. I thought, well, that's what I'm supposed to preach for this morning. I got up today with another thought on my mind, and God said, not yet. So, anyway, I'm going to be in the book of Judges, chapter number 6, and it may seem like that I may be a little bit scattered this morning at the beginning, but bear with me. I've got a thought, and the Lord gave me a simple thought. Judges chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17, and this is where Gideon was at the wine press, pressing wine. And we know a lot of times we read, preach from the passage where the angel told him that he was a mighty man of valor. And we look at all of the things that Gideon done and the accomplishments that he made during his life that God had his hand upon him. But really, I'm looking at something that may be a little different here this morning. Verse 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come again unto thee. This is Gideon speaking. And bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou comest again. And in verse 19, and Gideon went in, and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour and flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. The angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass in the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even a second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down, and hath cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of that city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him that will he not plead? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. And therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. That's more probably more reading than I'm going to get through this morning. But it seems like this time of the year, we go through I don't know if it's the losing so much daylight in the middle of the day. I really don't know what it is. But a lot of times during this period of time, we go through and we clean house. I don't know if y'all do that or not. I mean, we'll fill dumpsters full. And I was thinking this morning, we had been cleaning a little bit. The house had kind of got out of hand. We just had clutter everywhere. And we got some of the rooms done, but I still got some more cleaning I need to do. And I got to thinking about that. I don't know how we collect so much junk. But if you was honest with me, you're probably right there with me. We hang on to things that maybe we need to call it the Jim Robbins syndrome. I don't know. We're going to use it. We may use that someday. And there it sits. And what we need to do is go in and clean house. And I'm talking about cleaning house spiritually this morning. There's some things that we got to get in order in the new year if we want to see a move of God in this place in this year. You know, somebody said this, and it's a good saying. Nothing inspires cleanliness like an unexpected guest. Have you ever been there when you get a phone call and said, hey, this is so-and-so, I'm about an hour out, I'm on my way, I just wanted to stop by and see you. I'll tell you what, we start opening the dishwasher, Don Ennis, she'll open the oven door and start putting dirty dishes in it. We'll open closet doors and start sweeping things. We'll put things under the rug. We'll hide things that we never thought. I mean, it never bothered us until an unexpected guest announced their arrival. But if we're not careful, we'll allow some things to come in our life spiritually that we got to get taken care of before we can worship. I want you to notice this. Many of us, we live like God's not coming back. No man knows the day nor the hour. He could come back tomorrow. We need to live every day like this could be the day that He returns. There's some things in our closets that we may need to get taken care of. I'm talking about spiritually. Because the next knock on the door could be Him. God makes an unexpected visit on an unannounced day with an uninvited presence to give an unexpected expectation. Gideon wasn't prepared for the angel that day. God required him to take care of some things before he could worship. The priority of worship, I want you to notice this, the priority of worship had to be before the work. Before he is sent to fight Midian, he had to get himself right. You cannot perform for God without power from God. You cannot worship God publicly until you worship Him privately. Now, you may get up here and you may sing every song, hit every note just perfect, hit all the lows and all the highs, sing like a mockingbird, but if you don't have power, it's just music. It's just a song. But I've thought, Sister Brown, I've seen people get up and they may be a little bit flat on some notes and a little bit sharp on some other notes and may not have the timing just perfect, but they'll get up here and sing with the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost come down and it'll move lives and souls will get saved. Why? Because they've done some closet cleaning at home before they got to church. I knew it'd be feeling lonely up here, but I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I think if we had a body, we could have a funeral. It is not about performance. It's about passion. When we get our closets cleaned out, Gideon wasn't allowed to go into battle and to tear down the altar of Baal and the grove that his father had built until he got worship figured out. When he learned to worship in private, God used him in public. Oh my. I see the assignment here. He said, go tear down the altar of Baal. Oppression is always rooted in misdirected worship. Israel did not fall because Midian was strong. Israel fell because Baal was standing in their land. Let me let that sink in just a minute. When we're struggling spiritually, it's not because the enemy is strong. I've done preached to you and told you about evil spirits. They only have so much power. They have to have a body. They have to have hands. They have to have a mouth. They have to have feet to carry out their work. They have to have a finger to pull the trigger on the gun. They have to have hands to steal what don't belong to them. But when we let them live in our land, when they're in our closet, it's not because that God is not strong. It's because we've allowed the enemy to come into our home. When we allow him to come into our home, we're in trouble. It's time to clean house. You cannot restore the people to God without removing the gods that they replaced him with. I'm telling you this morning, if we've got something that don't belong, we got to get it out. Baal represented culture compromise. Baal represented spiritual corruption. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. Baal represented cultural compromise. Oh, Brother Hubbard, we want to go to a church that is entertaining. Well, that's not the way they do it down the street. They dim the lights. We have a different vibe in that. You can keep your vibe. I don't want no part of it. They have flashing lights. They have smoke. I'm going to get myself in trouble this morning, but that sounds like hell to me. They was cast into outer darkness, a place where there was smoke and there was fire. I don't want any part of that in my place of worship. I don't want to replace that with the spirit that I feel, the anointing of God that comes in and touches lives and changes hearts. I don't want to change and substitute that for that. And spiritual corruption. Boy, have we seen a move of that in the churches lately. I'm not even going to get off on the United Methodist. Familiar tradition. Well, that's the way that we learned to do it in Egypt. He spent 40 years trying to get Egypt out of Israel. And it crept back in. If we're not careful, Brother Tim, it'll get in our closets. There'll be some things in there that don't need to be. And there'll be Ouija boards and, oh, it's just a game. You better be careful with that game. Well, it's just a deck of playing cards. It's just a bunch of dice. Boy, I felt the resistance then. Y'all might be raised a little different than I was, but that stuff in my house, when I was growing up, that was a sin, wasn't it, Donetta? Our relatives, our aunts and uncles was professional card sharks. They made their living by gambling. It may not be wrong for you, but it's wrong for me. I don't want that mess in my house. Familiar traditions. He told him to tear down the altar of Baal and build up the altar of God. I want you to notice something with me here. This altar of Baal was on his father's land. This was his father's altar, Joash. Sometimes when we clean out closets, we got to break family traditions. Well, Brother Hubbard, you don't understand, but my family always gets together. And we have a little celebratory party. When we clean out our closet, sometimes we have to break family traditions. We have to break family poverty. Say, it's going to end with this generation. It's going to end with me. Sometimes we have to break family anxiety and family fears and family depression and family drug habits and family this and family that. Sometimes we have to say, God, it's going to end with me. And take a stand. No more. Devil, you've wreaked enough havoc in my home, in my land. My dad often testified, at the age of 4 years old, my great uncles was teaching him how to handle a deck of cards, and he could shuffle them with any card on top he wanted at 4 years old. Trained to be a professional card shark at a young age. My grandma, decided that she was going to get saved. Her dad was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. She said, I'm going to get saved regardless of what it costs me. She had to break some family traditions. Dad said that when Grandma come up off of that old Brush Arbor altar that day, Grandpa was standing outside, sitting on the hood of a fender of an old car. You know how they used to do. You sit on a fender nowadays and it'll cave it in. But he was sitting on that fender of that old car. Grandma come up from that altar. She met him outside, and Grandpa slid off of that fender and said, Grandma, did you get saved? Tears began to flow down his eyes. He had done told her that if she got saved, he was going to leave her. At that time, she still had 3 children, I believe, left at home. One of them was just getting ready to take off. I think Marvin, was already in the military. Wasn't it, Donetta? He was in the military at that time. But I think it was Hazel, Lloyd, and Dad. It was still the 2 of them made preachers. But she broke some family traditions and said, it's going to end with me. But before Gideon was allowed to go to the city, he had to clean his own house. I want you to look with me in verse number 27. He said, and then Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household. It's okay to fear. I know we quote the scripture oftentimes that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. There's a difference in fear that will guide and direct us than a fear that will, the spirit of fear. Moses, you read all throughout the Old Testament that Moses, I mean, he led the children of Israel. The children of Israel was led into Egypt. They went in as 70 and come out about 1,000,000. And oftentimes, the God would say, Moses, fear not. All throughout the Old Testament, Moses, fear not. Well, what about little David, the one that wrote the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, they all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil. It doesn't mean that you can't. I fear every time I get behind this pulpit that I'm going to say something that is going to hurt or offend someone in a way that's going to turn them away from Christ. I don't want to do that. That troubles me, thinking that the responsibility that I have as a shepherd that I could lead somebody astray. But it is a fear that guides. That's okay. In verse number 27, and then Gideon took 10 men with his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now I want you to look in verse number 29. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Now wait just a minute. Gideon and 10 men went in by night to tear down the altar, to clean the closet, if you will. The angel didn't tell him to go at night. But Gideon feared. He took 10 men. And then we just got through reading in verse 29 that the men of the city asked who had done this thing. And they said, Gideon, the son of Joash. The only ones that knew who done this was Gideon and his 10 servants. If you get ready to clean closet, you're going to have those that will back you, and you're going to have those that are going, those that will back out on you, and you'll have those that will stab you in the back. The only ones that knew who was there was Gideon and his servants. Somebody had to tell. Somebody had to back out. Somebody had to stab him in the back and say, it was him that done it. Listen to me. When you start cleaning closets and getting rid of things in your house and your life that don't belong, you're going to have people that you're going to have that may disappoint you. There are going to be people that will say, well, oh, come on, honey, this won't hurt. There may be some relatives that say, he's lost his ever-loving mind. There's nothing wrong with this. Why are they being a fuddy-dud, a party pooper? You got to clean the closet out, regardless of what the cost. I'm hurrying. In verse 32, I want you to look at this. And therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. This is a picture. I hope you can see this. A father steps in to save his son who destroyed the works of a false god. You see that? A father steps in to save his son who destroyed the works of a false god. It reminds me of a New Testament passage. You know the one I'm talking about? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, a father stepped in. Don't you think he'll step in for you this morning? If you step out by faith, I'm not saying you're not going to have fear, but let your fear guide and direct you. Not the spirit of fear, but let your fear guide and direct you. And the Father will step in and say, this one's mine. Stand with me if you will. I preached long enough. I can go longer this morning, but I feel like I need to come to a close. Have you got some things in your life that should not be? I want you to come this morning if you do. It'd be a good time to do some house cleaning, some clean out some closets. Gideon had to build an altar. He had to worship before he could go to battle.